Well, a little girl just came out of confession, having made her very first confession, and she was crying. So her mother said, "Honey, what happened? Why are you crying?" And the little girl said, "Well, for my penance, the priest told me to say two Hail Marys." And the mother said, "Well, what's so hard about that?" The little girl said, "I only know one." Well, let's together pray one Hail Mary in honor of Mary, the Mother of God, on her feast day, on this New Year's Day, as we ask the Blessed Mother's intercession upon this year, 2015, for each of you and for your families. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, there is only one Hail Mary, such a beautiful prayer. And next to the Our Father, it is the most powerful and the most beautiful prayer ever composed. The first part was composed by the angel Gabriel when he appeared to our Blessed Mother. And then St. Elizabeth gives us the next few verses of the Hail Mary. And then the early church added the second part, which is called the Holy Mary. It is such a powerful prayer, such a beautiful prayer. And I wanted to, on this feast day of Mary, the Mother of God, just talk about the power and the beauty of that prayer, the Hail Mary. And it is a prayer that has converted many souls. I remember reading the story of a young man. He had left his faith when he was about 16 years old. He got involved in drugs and alcohol, and he moved out to California, where he became homeless, and he was mostly living on park benches. But his mother never stopped praying for him. She always prayed for him every day, and through a friend was able to track him down and sent him a holy card, which simply said, "Say one Hail Mary." And it had the words, the Hail Mary, printed on that. And so it was the only prayer that he said. Every night, as he was sleeping on park benches or in the gutters somewhere, he would remember to say one Hail Mary. Well, he kept doing this, and pretty soon he was up to two Hail Marys, then three Hail Marys. Then he started praying a decade of the rosary, and then he would say the whole rosary. And eventually he came back to his Catholic faith. He went back to confession for the first time after 20 years. Then he entered the seminary and became a priest. He was ordained by Pope John Paul II, all because of one Hail Mary. That is the power of a Hail Mary to transform and convert a sinner. Again, it's one of the most beautiful prayers. It's so theologically rich. St. Thomas Aquinas once preached for 40 straight days about the Hail Mary. And yet it can be said by a child and understood by a child. And this prayer is so powerful because, again, it is the prayer of the angels, the prayer of the saints, the prayer of the friends of Our Lady. So when we look at the prayer of the Hail Mary, we know that the first part is right from Scripture, from St. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel said to Mary, "Hail, full of grace." That greeting, "Hail," means rejoice. It was a salutation of honor given to a king or a queen. And Mary, of course, was a queen. Her name, Mary, means Miriam in Hebrew, which means an ocean. So Mary is an ocean of graces. And the angel called her full of grace. That word full of grace is in the Greek New Testament the only place that that word is used in that particular tense and phrase. It is kacheritomene, which means a completed action done to perfection. So that word full of grace is so beautiful. It means, "O you who have been perfected in grace." That indicates Mary's sinlessness, the Immaculate Conception, that she had no sin, never committed a sin, that she was completely full of grace, an ongoing, completed action. And then
The next part of the prayer, the Lord is with you. Again, a statement of fact. It's an affirmation. It's not a prayer. When we say the Lord be with you, it's a prayer that the Lord will be with us. But for Mary, it was a statement of fact. The Lord is with you. And then the next part of the prayer comes from the cousin of our Blessed Mother, St. Elizabeth, who said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So Elizabeth is inspired by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and says to Our Lady that you are the most blessed among all women, among all the 70 billion or 100 billion women who have ever lived and will ever live. The Blessed Mother is the most blessed. She is the one that God chose to be the mother of His Son, the chosen daughter of the Father, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit. So she is truly most blessed among all women. And then, after she praises Mary, she praises her Son, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So the fruit of the womb is sacred, it is holy, it is blessed. Now, the fruit of the womb is not a burden or a curse or a punishment. The fruit of the womb is a blessing. And that is one of the greatest pro-life prayers that we have, is the Hail Mary. And St. Dominic and St. Louis de Montfort and others would preach and teach the Hail Mary and the Rosary to help combat Jansenism and Pelagianism, and as well as the Manichaeanism and the Albigensianism and all the heresies of the day that were anti-life. And they would teach the Hail Mary because it was the most beautiful prayer that showed the sanctity of life, that blessed is the fruit of the womb. Yes, Mary's womb was blessed. It was Jesus. But the fruit of your womb is blessed. In fact, all of us are the fruit of the womb of our mother and of our parents. So human life is sacred. It is holy. And it is holy from the moment of conception. How old was Jesus when Elizabeth said this to the Blessed Mother? 6 days in her womb. Because right after Mary conceived Christ in her womb, it says she immediately went to the hill country. It would have taken her only 3 or 4 days to get into the hill country. So Jesus was only less than 1 week old in Mary's womb, and yet he was a living person, a true individual, the blessing of the fruit of the womb. So life is sacred. Life begins at conception, and we uphold this as Catholic Christians, that all human life is sacred and blessed. Just as the fruit of Mary's womb was blessed, so the fruit of every woman's womb is blessed and sacred. And then the Church added the word Jesus, the holiest name, to the end of the first part of the prayer. And then the early Church composed this beautiful prayer called the Holy Mary. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. So yes, Mary is holy. She is immaculate. And she is the Mother of God. So today's feast day, January 1st, is this title of Our Lady. Our Lady has over 2,000 titles, but her greatest is Mother of God. Greater than all her other titles, Queen of Peace, Queen of the Holy Rosary, Our Lady of Fatima, her greatest title is Theotokos, the God-bearer, the Mother of God. And that title upholds the divinity of Jesus Christ, that the child that Mary gave birth to was a divine person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Therefore, we can call Mary the Mother of God, because she gave birth to a baby who was truly Lord and God. Remember, a mother doesn't give birth to a nature, she gives birth to a person. And the person that Mary gave birth to is the eternal Son of God. Therefore, we call her the Mother of God. And then it ends by saying, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. You can pray for me. I can pray for you. So why not ask the Queen of Heaven and the angels and the saints to pray for us? Having Mary pray for us is so powerful. Mary, pray for us, sinners, so we acknowledge that we're sinners. Bishop Sheen says, unless you acknowledge that you're a sinner, you can never call Christ your Savior. So we have to admit that we're sinners, that we need God's grace. So pray for us, Mary. We are sinners. When we say this, it's an act of contrition. It's sorrow for our sins. But pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Those two times that we need God's grace, God's help, and God's strength. When is that? Right now and at the hour of our death. The hour of our death is so important because that will determine where we go for all eternity, either towards heaven or to hell. So pray for us, Mary. We are sinners. Pray for us right now and at the hour of our death. That's why the Hail Mary is so powerful, because we're asking and receive grace right now. Every time we say that prayer, it's immediate, asking for God's help right at that moment in time of temptation or impatience. Ask for God's grace then. But also, every time you say the Hail Mary, you're storing up graces for the hour of your death. And that is so important. And that's why not only on this New Year's Day should we make that resolution not only to say at least one Hail Mary a day, but why not say 50 Hail Marys a day? Why not say the Rosary every day during the year 2015? Because every time we say that Rosary 50 times, we're storing up graces for the hour of our death, that critical, most important time when we need God's grace and God's help and the intercession of our Blessed Mother. And St. Louis de Montfort says that every time we say a Hail Mary, we give Our Lady a beautiful rose. If we say that Hail Mary with love, attention, and devotion, we give Our Lady a magnificent, beautiful rose. And every time we say the Rosary, we give her a whole bouquet of 50 roses. Imagine that. Every time we do this, we honor our Heavenly Mother, and we will store up for ourselves graces right now, but especially at the hour of our death. So next to the Our Father, the Hail Mary is the most powerful, the most beautiful prayer. It can convert a hardened sinner. It can transform a life just by praying one Hail Mary every day. But on this New Year's Day, don't just say one Hail Mary every day, but say the whole Rosary every day. And I'm sure you'll receive tremendous graces at every moment of your life, especially at the hour of your death.